The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who's back?
Right?
Back again.
Some M&M.
Justin's back. Tell a friend.
This is Mind Pump Radio. This is Adam Schaefer. I'm here with Sal DiStefano.
Hey.
The one and only Justin Andrews.
Hello, everybody.
And Doug.
I'm here.
Doug the Spinner.
Yes, it's me.
The creepiest voice every time.
It's sultry. I know. Sultry, dude.
No, it sounded more like Eeyore.
I
got to
sound sexy. Yeah. You know, it's my specialty.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Doug Eggy, and my specialty is sounding sexy.
Boo, do they have? Yeah. You know what that made me think of right now is, I know they have women that do this. Is there a position for men that actually talk phone sex for men? Do men do that?
Oh. We should start one.
For gay men. I don't think women will call. Because women can pretty much dial any number, and if a man answers, he'll talk sex to her for free.
Is that true? Does anyone know? Nobody knows. No one has an educated answer here.
I think for gay men, probably.
Yeah.
Does anybody even do
who
that
starts?
Anymore?
You know what I mean? It'd be like,
who starts? Yeah.
It's like, how's that work?
The beginning would be weird, right?
Yeah, it's like, wait, how do we get are you going to take the role? Am I taking the lead? I don't know. We both have the same thing.
Well,
let's do this.
That's the idea, is that if it's a place you call in, you take care of that for them. You're the one who leads the way there, because you are getting paid to do that. That's your job. Your job is to make it feel comfortable for the person who feels uncomfortable who's calling in the first place.
Gotcha.
And I think that exists for women too, bro. I don't think that's just gay men. I don't think just gay men.
I doubt it. I don't think it's a sex line. I think it's probably a line where a woman can call in and a man answers and then he listens. You know what I mean? She pays $6.99 a minute for a guy to listen
to her. That is brilliant, though. If you think about it, like, oh, I know, right? Yeah. That girl's such a bitch. You know? Tell me more. And
that's interesting.
You know,
I'm actually very interested in this now. I'm gonna have to research it. I'm gonna have to get on.
You have a good voice for phone sex.
Well, that's what when I was just thinking about that. I thought, you know what, if this mind pump thing doesn't work out,
Sari lowers his voice and he does that. Yeah. Dude, keep going.
I don't do it on purpose. It just happens.
Like, ladies, tell me your story. My pants are off, but that's nothing. Don't mind me.
I see. I think Justin
get comfortable.
He seems pretty natural at this too. You know?
No, he's not.
Tell me how you would unbutton my shirt. Yeah. Would you unbutton my shirt first, or would you,
girl? I'll tell you what I'm wearing right now. If you just tell me one of those stories, make it extra long. Like, you know, right when you woke up and everything.
Dude, you're fucking good at this.
Woo!
Dude.
I know.
I'm getting all hot and bothered over
Jesus.
Here.
Jesus. There's a wet spot in Adam's chair.
Wow.
From that.
Wow. Wow.
That's just leaky douche coming out.
Well, it's Justin, it's good to know that you and I actually have an option if this doesn't work out.
Dude, it could be like a tag team thing.
I don't
know
what
the tag team men listener.
Nobody wants to listen to me on this.
Nobody wants to hear.
You ever have a threesome fantasy? But like with sensitive guys? You know, that like, you know, want to rub your shoulders or something? We're here.
And then Kermit comes in. You ever been fucked by Kermit?
Hey, guys. That's a whole different genre. Puppet fucking.
Oh, God. Yeah, Kermit, you're going to have to set it up. PBS, bro. Bill Nye, is Bill Nye the Science Guy still going? You could take his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, it's sexy.
It's not that bad at all.
I got a sexy. It's just not, it can be sexy if not, I want.
Yeah,
to
let's hear yours. Let's hear yours.
Yeah.
Let's hear you talk dirty. Talk dirty to me. Talk dirty to me.
Please.
I can't even do it.
Just a little bit.
Turn me on.
Just a little bit.
Hey, honey, I washed the dishes and I cleaned up the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is. Okay. Oh, yeah. Boy. You
good did call. You get horny good there? Call.
Stick with the science stuff, bro. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yep. You're God, about, you're about as good as that as I am at singing.
It's a good thing I'm visually attractive.
yes.
Hey, come look at me.
Tearing out those panties. Biggie.
There's got to be somebody.
Oh, Kermie.
I'm sure you could.
it's so sexy.
All right.
I'm sure you could nerd the pants off of somebody.
That's enough. That's enough poking fun at me.
No, we love it. Let's do some Q&A, everybody. Let's go.
Q&A.
It is that time again.
Q&A. Can we get some good questions?
You know, we have so many good questions this week. Let's begin with Cassidy H626. She's talking about how so many foods have been demonized over the years, like caffeine, cholesterol, gluten, and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants you to put on your predictive hats and tell us what the next food will be that will be
our Sal-stradamus.
This sounds like a job.
Wow.
For Sal-stradamus.
Wow, I like that. That's a good little one right there, huh?
Yeah. Well, you guys want to guess first before I go? I want to make sure you don't.
Oh,
copy
you already me. Have. You already have an answer.
Yeah, I want to make sure you don't copy me.
Oh, wow. Let me start. You know what? What makes me think of this is that McDonald's video that we watched, their marketing campaign. So I thought it was brilliant because of the fact that it started to put the responsibility back on the consumer. Okay. So basically what their whole campaign is that, like, hey, we're basically like a grocery store. We provide food. It's your fault if you're, you know, choosing the wrong food.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, as far as like balancing your nutrients goes and all this kind of stuff. So it's basically like IIFYM,
you know,
in a sense.
You know what the truth is, too?
McDonald's had that, huh?
Yeah, so they started campaigning.
Well, it's the fucking truth, man. If you're fat, stop fucking blaming the food.
It is.
It didn't crawl into your mouth.
Right, but that's not to say that they don't, you know, just barely squeeze by with, like, standards as far as, like, you know, what food is. but at the same time, yeah, of course it's the consumer's fault. You know, you're the one buying the shit. So, you know, it's great campaign. But how I see this in the future is that, you know, companies that maybe are mass producing things, they'll start kind of coming at that angle. Like, hey, you really need to do your own. What we're providing is, it's almost like, you know, here's your options. You do with it what you're going to do with it. Like, it really, like, they're going to start stepping back as far as responsibility of quality and, you know, really try and emphasize that.
Well,
point.
Let's look and see what's already happened. When it comes to fast food, there was a little second there where they were embarrassed to talk about, you know, they didn't want to advertise how big and juicy their food was or how fattening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're seeing that flip because now if you go into commercials, you got Carl's Jr. talking about bacon burger, more bacon than five pigs. And, you know, they're like proud of the fact.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like, take that, vegetarians.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine. It's like, it's your fucking responsibility. You eat it or you don't. It's up to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you think, what do you think is going to be demonized then?
That's a good question because I feel like it's going to totally switch. Like, you're going to have, like, people that are very much more educated because it's going to hit to a point where it's going to be very aware that, like, this food, you know, is going to affect you internally, you know, versus, like, the flavor versus, you know, I don't know, because it's been salt, it's been sugar, it's been cholesterol, it's like, it's hard to go anywhere else from here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've pretty much gone through the whole gamut. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're going to just start punking people.
Mm.
That's what I feel.
Demonize people.
People.
Soylent Green's people.
Yeah, just as far as, like, people not, you know, like cigarettes, how, you know, it's like, why would you be so stupid to eat that? You know, kind of a thing.
Well, fuck. If you eat a cigarette, you are stupid.
Well, yeah.
You're supposed to smoke them.
Well, I am, yeah.
Hey, well, Adam chews on his
candy. Apparently, I did it wrong.
Are you done with your candy, Adam? So you can talk about what
you're doing. No.
He's eating candy.
This is a guy. This is a good one, and I agree with Justin. It's kind of hard because we have kind of demonized, you know, everything. Do you know? And the, I guess the question would be: do I see something like resurfacing again? You know, maybe sugar makes a comeback as we start to really go after sugar or something again.
Yeah, I see that more. I see like sugar trying to like them campaigning that it's well, like, that's not so bad.
There you go.
Because even though that's the worst one, like it's pretty obvious.
Well, and I think that could be tied to the whole how we're in the middle of watching artificial sweeteners, right? We're in the middle of finding out, you know, what 10 years ago everyone was pro for them because they're zero calorie. Then we find out how bad aspartame and shit is for us, and then it's like, oh shit, this isn't so good for us. Now it's all the competitors are coming up with all these zero calorie natural artificial sweeteners. So, you know, maybe we see that get demonized more than it already is. And sugar makes a comeback, natural sugars. Maybe they campaign on that because they see that. I kind of believe we are on the verge of seeing alcohol get demonized that way, which that's a gamble for me to say that because we already went through the whole prohibition times and everything like that. And we saw what it was like without it and then the fight for it back.
Oh, it's definitely going to start falling out of favor as marijuana becomes legalized.
That's exactly where I'm going with this is I foresee, you know, us kind of getting back in the hippie era of, you know, peace, love and smoke some weed. And the same people who used to go home and have a glass or two of wine, instead of having a glass or two of wine at night, it'll become more common to go home and take a hit off your vaporizer or have, you know, a small edible of choice when you get home to unwind.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, along those lines, I would add then concentrated pills, like of any kind, like because that's always been the answer as far as like, you know, It has less of a stigma if you're getting a prescription pill, right?
Oh, okay.
As opposed to like something like holistic and natural, you know. I don't know. Maybe that's my prediction.
Well, here's what when you look at these trends, here's what you got to look at. You got to look at the way that these trends tend to swing the pendulum in one way in one direction to the next. So let's start from the beginning where fat became demonized, so everybody ate low fat, high carbohydrate. Well, it's the next thing to become demonized was carbohydrates, right? And then fat was awesome. And I think personally, here's what I think. Here's my prediction. I think besides artificial sweeteners, which we're already seeing, I think you're going to see in the future, mark my words, that they are going to come out and they're going to talk about the dangers of eating too much protein. And I don't mean
really
positive.
Wow.
I don't mean a high protein diet. I mean the excessive amount of protein that now is being promoted because you go to the grocery store now and everything's fucking fortified with protein. Everything. Almond milk, 22 grams of protein per serving. High protein cereal for your kids. You know, protein water.
Protein cookies. You know,
amino acids and everything. Protein cookies. Protein everything. Right. Protein is.
Damn it, Sal.
That's why I waited till the end, bro.
Here, you guys run your mouth for like 5 hours, and I'm just going to come in and boop.
Yeah, no, only because he was inboxing Cassidy before, and they talked about this already, and this guy had fucking a day of research on it, right?
Yeah, no, and at night, what I do is I rub my crystal balls, and they tell me. Anything.
See, I think there's that sexy voice. Yeah. Do it again.
I think that's a pretty good.
That just made everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's a pretty fair prediction. Now, here's the thing, though, that my disagreement I have with that is we talk a lot about that on this radio show, and I feel like it hits home for a lot of people because we do have a lot of smart, educated people and fitness-minded people already listening to us. Yes, we do have some of the general population too, but I have a weird feeling that we appeal to more of the experienced gym goer.
Well, let me hold on. Okay.
Hold on. Let me finish smashing your idea here.
Okay.
And then you can come back and defend it. This is why, because I still stand by what I say is I still think a majority of the population severely underconsumes protein and there is a huge need for more protein in the average person's diet. I have never met a client of mine, unless they were already a competitor or a, you know, person who's been lifting weights. If you are a person just getting into health and fitness, just starting to eat correctly and just starting to work out, every single client I've ever taken was under eating protein. Mm.
So,
like 10 years from now, though, I could see your point happening a little bit more just because of the projection as far as, like, you're talking about with everything having, like, protein being emphasized. You know, like protein noodles.
It's true.
Everything.
Everything's getting for. Here's two things. Number one, if you look at all modern developed nations, Western nations, which country would you say arguably has some of the worst health in terms of obesity and you know, food related disease?
We are.
America.
We.
Which country has the highest protein intake?
America.
Yeah. Well, that, okay. America, easily. Okay. Whoa, easy. Right, Mr. Now, correlation causation guy. No.
I'm not so making a correlation.
That is definitely.
No. What I'm trying to say
is. It also fucking rains here a lot, too. Doesn't mean it has anything to do with the fucking protein intake.
You're right. But let me make a point. Let me make my point. That's not my point. Where you're going is not where I'm saying.
Okay.
My point is that's a statistic that will be used. That kind of stuff will be used. They're going to come out and say, protein is fortified in everything. First of all, here's the thing with protein. It's being treated like it's nothing. Like, you can eat as much fucking protein as you want. Yeah. There's no problems.
Right.
Fortify everything with protein. All you're ever going to get are benefits, and you're not going to get any negatives. You know, if you drink water, it's better to have protein in your water. If you're going to eat, you know, noodles, uh-huh. it's better to have more protein in your noodles.
Right.
So it's being treated like it's this macronutrient.
Oh, you want peanut butter? But we got protein peanut butter.
Right. They're treating it like it's a macronutrient that has zero negatives right now. Right. That's what's happening right now. It's only getting fucking worse. I could go in the grocery store now, and there's an entire aisle of, not nutrition bars, what are they all called? Protein bars. And that's the grocery store. So it's just being overfed to us, and we're going to see studies come out where they're going to say, if you eat long-term these ultra-high protein diets, here's some of the risks. And only because the way that American public works, the pendulum is going to swing in the opposite direction.
Well, they just watch our buying habits. I mean, right. They know us like so well.
Right.
And they just notice all the jumps of our trends of wanting more things with protein in it because, you know, health people like us all over the place are like,
talk about
you
got to
get more protein. You got to get more protein. And so then it affects the actual marketplace. Right. And now you see like these food companies trying to be like, well, they're really into protein right now. So let's just fucking put that in our vegetables too.
Now before I think there's going to be a little bit of a backlash on protein. And I don't mean, and again, let me just be clear. It's not going to be like going from a super high protein to nobody eat protein. It's going to go from super high protein to don't get everything, you know, don't buy your water with protein in it. Don't get cereal that's high protein. You don't need that. You know, you'd be better off eating chicken breast. That's the backlash I'm talking about when it comes to protein. But what I think we're going to see more immediately, which we're not seeing it yet, but we're going to see it within the next 4 or 5 years, or it's going to become more popular to skip meals. So the whole fasting thing, the way it's going to translate to the public is not necessarily fasting, but it's going to be more like, you know what? It's okay to skip a meal, and that's okay. That's fine. It might actually help you lose weight. Well, we're going to see that become more mainstream.
Well, one of your predictions is going to cancel the other one out.
Yeah.
One of your predictions is going to cancel the other one out. Because
I would love that, highly doubt that last.
And here's the thing. If people wise up and we start to getting into that where people are eating less meals, we get away from the whole you need to eat 3 to 6 meals. If that's true, then we're definitely not going to be over-consuming protein. Because then you're saying that in 1 to 2 meals, someone's consuming 200 grams of protein in a sitting because they're having
so here's what you
10
have to,
pounds of protein noodles with 40 pounds.
No, here's,
of, it's not going
to
happen.
Here's what you have to consider. It's like a multivitamin. If you gave a multivitamin to someone 100 years ago, they might benefit from it. But once we discovered vitamins and minerals, every food manufacturer fortified everything with vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
So now it's not hard to overdose on vitamins. When it comes to protein, now you're not going to overdose, and I doubt anyone's going to overdose on it. But when everything's going to get fortified with protein, because that's the direction everything's going to go, I just think that the pendulum, that the public is going to start rejecting some of it. I don't think it's going to be demonized quite as harshly as carbs have been and stuff like that, because protein is essential. But I do think you're going to see people come out and say, you know,
this is why
you don't need to have tons and tons of protein. That's what I think the next target's going to be.
I disagree, and this is why.
Hmm.
Okay, let's take an average person, an average female, 140 to 150 pounds. Average female, 140, 150 she weighs. So we know that she needs about 110 to 120 grams of protein, roughly, right? Can we agree on that? 0.7 grams.
That would be her max, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, on the upper echelon, she's going to want, and she's working out, okay? Mm-hmm, so she needs 0.7. So 110 or so. She is an average American too. Average American only eats 2 to 3 meals in a day. We'll say she's on the upper side. She eats 3 meals. Okay. She eats 3 meals. Everything's fortified with protein. She has protein cereal, which, just so you guys know, per serving has got about 9 grams of protein. Let's say she has double the serving. That's 18 grams. She washes it down with some fortified almond milk that's got extra protein in it. Another 8 grams right there. So now we're at 18 plus 8. We're at 26 grams of protein. She goes on to her second meal. Second meal, she decides she's going to have a protein shake with her 4 ounces of chicken breast. That's a lot of fucking protein, and her veggies and stuff like that. Now where are we at? Another 40 grams of protein. So now we're at 66 grams of protein. She's now moving on to her third meal. She's going to have an 8 ounce steak. She's going to have a protein shake, and she's going to have some protein noodles. She still ain't going to go over, bro.
Right, but you're
not,
just,
and definitely, and not in a, not.
But
in
you're
a,
not, you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's not necessarily because you're eating an excess of protein. Too much protein is too bad. Studies are going to come out talking about how too much protein is bad. However, it's not going to apply to most people. But what's going to happen is people are going to negate carbs and fats in replace of proteins. Proteins have become this, like, I can eat as much of it as I want. It's like this free macronutrient.
Yeah, well,
and that's what I mean by the backlash.
We're talking about, exactly. We're talking about the demonization of it. Not that it makes sense, right? Like, you're trying to describe it in a way that, like really, like, you'd have to eat, like, an insane amount of protein for you to, like, you know, go over. But at the same time, as far as the actual patterns are concerned, like, I could see that being what happens, because you see your carbohydrates get demonized. You see, well, first you see your fats get demonized, then you see your carbohydrates get demonized. You know, that just follows along the next macronutrient pattern, right?
Because then what people do is they move to the next one.
Exactly. And then it'll flip back, you know, to fat again. And we'll see a lot more low fat, you know. Just kidding about the fat thing, and
I agree with that. The thing where I disagree is that we are so far from that, because how long will people, you'll have to be eating that way where you're neglecting carbohydrates and fat and over consuming on a protein level.
You already see that.
No, you don't, bro. Dude, the fitness industry, you see it. We represent 4% of the fucking country.
The fitness industry's trends start to bleed over to the mainstream, and they don't do that shit right anyway. Because now people are afraid of fats, they're afraid of carbs, but proteins are all good. And so now you got people dieting, and all they want to eat is lean protein. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I'm not, dude,
I just want chicken breast and vegetables.
When it comes to, I mean, you're 100% correct when it comes to the fitness industry.
Right.
When I look at my peers,
it's all protein and veggies.
It's way over consumed on protein, way under consumed on fats and carbohydrates. The balance is completely off, and you're going to start to see those guys start to fuck up and those girls start to fuck up there later on in life because of it. But I mean, once again, you're talking about the 1%ers, 1% of the nation. Like, and we always talk about the general population. Like, I mean, we might be the ones that influence the way trends go, but we're just now setting the trend that high protein needs, everyone needs more protein. So it's just now bleeding into the general population.
Right.
It's going to be a very long time before we start to demonize it.
Well, that's just my opinion. Yeah, I'm just predicting it. I'm just predicting for the future. But like I said, like, if you remember
when you're 90,
I don't think so. No, like when we were kids, right? Everything said low fat. Everything was low fat, low fat, low fat, low fat.
Yep.
It's much harder to find low fat nowadays. Not everything is low fat anymore. Now, what do we see? Low carb, low carb, low carb, low carb, right? Now you're seeing things start to trying to look more natural or extra protein, high protein, high protein, high protein. It's just the stupid trends of the public.
I agree, but those two things, it's easier to demonize, because how much easier is it to overconsume and get fat from fat and carbohydrates in comparison to protein? So because of that, it's easier to demonize
it. Yeah, but see, you're making too much sense.
That's why. No,
it's true.
That's the reason why McDonald's is demonized, because it's so easy to get fat off of it. You don't have to try very hard. You would have to try very hard to eat so much protein for it to have an adverse effect.
Yeah.
And the people that do that are the idiots in the fitness world right now. Yeah. The general population, it's going to be a long time before they get to the point where it starts to affect it. Because you know why? Because every time someone tries to demonize it, another study will come out and say, like, sorry, these people eating higher protein diets and lower carbohydrates, in fact, as an overall population, were actually healthier.
Mm. Yeah. They'll just end up getting the gout.
Yeah.
It's
And actually talking about this, was a very good question, because it's rare that we get to debate something. Yeah. Who was that?
I like that.
Who was that?
Well, what we're going to do.
What about this? What about organic changing into the new standard being wild?
Yeah.
Right?
Good luck.
But like, if you're going to go on pattern's sake, you know, organic's going to become the next regulated thing that, that got super gray and washed.
Well, on that exact subject right there, you have a lot of people who are against farm fish. Yeah. Right? Don't eat farm fish. It has to be wild. It
has to be wild.
Fish is the last, really the last part of the earth where we go out and pluck it from its wild habitat and try to feed everybody with it. Guess what? It's impossible. Like, we're overfishing the fuck out of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
The only way we're ever going to be able to eat as much fish as humans want to eat is if we farm them, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It would be like us always, instead of raising cattle and pigs, if we always hunted, we wouldn't be able to feed ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Fish is going to have to be farmed. They just have to figure out a way to do it that makes it, you know, clean and, you know, healthy. Yeah. But because wild fish, I'm sorry, you know, it's just, it's going to be almost impossible. The population get up to 7 billion. And everyone just wants wild fish all the time, wild salmon.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna. It's no way. There's no way. There's not enough fish out there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah, what
it's
we'll
gonna
do,
become backyard grown.
What we'll do is we'll say, you know, Doug, I mean, save this episode so that when my prediction comes correct, I'll mail it to.
We're gonna put it in
Adam.
A vault.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I'll put it up worldwide. How about that?
When Adam's 87 and Sal's right here, go send that over to me.
Oh, believe me, I won't forget either. I'll be 87 years old. Like,
yeah. I remember, motherfucker. I told you.
Yeah, it's a. We'll have robot bodies.
Well, you were right again,
I'm
Sal.
Telling you.
You were right again, Sal.
Check me out. I am even more upgraded than you.
Robot.
My calves are upgraded. And quads.
I like how the robot sings while he talks. It's like auto-tune.
Yes. Yes.
All right, next question.
All right, our next question is from Tori Glory.
Tori Glory.
Yeah, with eyes. How can you get stronger without getting bigger?
With eyes.
With eyes, not wide.
Okay.
Not thighs.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
And some people get bigger without getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question.
Yes, it is.
How can you get stronger?
Fat has a lot to do.
Well, there's a lot of factors that have to go into how strong your muscles are. Central nervous system, the role the central nervous system plays is a big one. So you can actually not change the size of muscle,
right,
but increase its ability to contract and fire more forcefully, which will make
the
you stronger.
The amount of neurons and you know, the communication is amplified that much more.
Right.
So you can utilize more fibers at any given moment.
Right. And that you're not bigger. You're just, it's like getting a bigger amplifier for your speakers. The speakers sound louder, even though they're not bigger. It's just the amp that got.
Well, that's why you see
powerful.
Some of those guys like Pavel that just are just strong as shit, but they look like just lean guys.
Right,
They're not huge.
What are you doing, Adam?
I'm just listening to you guys.
Yeah.
And this little like,
or you could get huge.
This little screen thing feels good on my nose.
Mm. Oh. How about bigger without getting stronger, Adam? What would you say about?
Well,
since that's your field.
Well, I think.
Well, it is. That's the physique world.
I know, but,
oh, was it just saying? Adam?
No, I thought you were talking shit.
Well, I mean, a lot of that has to do with. So when somebody's trying to add muscle, you need to be in a surplus of calories, mm-hmm, in order for that to happen. And I think the most common mistake that people have, and we kind of touched about this with Joe a little bit, is that living in too much of a surplus to build muscle. It does not take very much of a surplus for you to add muscle. So these people that are like saying that, hey, I'm going to try and gain some muscle, and they gain 5 to 10 pounds over the month course or like that, that's way too much. You do not.
A lot of that's fat.
Yeah, most of it is probably. You know what I'm saying? Or at least probably 50%, which means you're in the same boat that you were a month before.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you built some extra muscle, when you go to start carving away the fat, you're going to probably sacrifice some of that muscle also. So really, it doesn't make sense. And we used to keep at the gym, we used to have a little clay thing of muscle and fat. And there was this big old huge blob that was the size of probably 2 footballs together, was the size of what 5 pounds of fat looked like on your body. And then we had like this like softball size piece of muscle. And that softball size piece of muscle was to represent what 5 pounds of muscle look like on your body. So as you continue to increase your body fat, and if you add muscle too, then you get that kind of big bulky look to you. But if you are continuing to just try and add a little bit of lean muscle, and you're not, and I shouldn't say lean muscle, like there's a difference, add muscle, you're not living in these huge calorie surpluses, or you do like what we talk about, which are mini bulks followed by mini cuts. You're never living in a surplus even for very long, much longer than a couple weeks at best. You're going to have a lot easier time putting on mass that is not
isn't, you know, the way you train, like say if you're always doing sarcoplasmic type hypertrophy training versus somebody who's, you know, not, and just, you know, working on power and explosive movements, your body's going to look a bit different.
Oh no, right? Definitely, absolutely.
So I mean that can definitely carry weight as far as what your overall physique is going to look like, whether you're, you know, bigger, like volume wise versus like somebody who's just dense.
There's different, look at muscle fibers. Typically a bigger muscle fiber is stronger than a smaller muscle fiber. However, theoretically you could weaken your central nervous system's, you know, ability to fire your muscle strongly, but at the same time enlarge muscle fibers. So your strength might not go up that much, but you look a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, yeah, that can happen. I think people get this, you know, speaking to Tori, I think she gets this impression because we see people in the gym who are smaller but lift way more weight than the bigger guy in mm-hmm. the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. A smaller guy who's really strong will typically be stronger if he gets bigger. A bigger guy who's not as strong will typically get bigger as he gets stronger. So they're so closely connected. Can you get stronger without getting bigger? Yes. Can you keep that up for very long? No. Keep getting stronger and see what happens. You'll get bigger. Yeah. I mean, chances are you're going to get bigger.
Yeah.
Your body's adapting for, you know, all this added amount of stress. A lot of times mass is what's going to help you overcome, you know, all this load that
you can kind of go in one direction or the other, but they're so closely related. I mean, I've gotten a lot stronger and, you know, seen a little bit of muscle growth, but if I kept pushing it, eventually I'll see some muscle growth and vice versa. So
I think that's a good point, is to make that if you keep pushing or you keep heading in that direction, eventually it's going to go that way. I mean, initially, if you were to take somebody right now, I do notice a big difference. I noticed that we talked about this in the last podcast that we just aired whenever you guys listen to this, the one where it was just Sal and I, and Sal was asking me about the difference of when I trained with MAPS versus how I trained before. And, you know, to piggyback off of what Justin said is, you know, if you're training in strength and you're staying in that kind of phase, if you kind of hovering around strength and power and you don't really flirt too much with hypertrophy, I noticed a major difference in my physique. I tend to have a much more bubblier, rounder, fuller look when I train hypertrophy versus when I train in strength. So if you are somebody who's not trying to get bigger, but you want to be that person who's smaller and is strong, then lift strength, you know, stay in the strength phase a lot more.
But they all benefit each other.
They do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're right. And that's why I say, like you said, eventually, you know, after a period of time of lifting over years, you know, you're going to add some size.
I just think they're so closely related. And I think that it's just it's just an observation that people make because we all know that small guy who's fucking stronger than every big guy that we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it becomes one of those questions.
And it's like, how? How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do I train to be like you? Well, you kind of can't. You know, the dude is just strong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's part of your genetics.
Yeah, exactly. And there's definitely genetic roles. But I mean, I guess if I would give a generic recommendation to someone, I would tell them to stay in a very minimal surplus, if any at all, maybe even a deficit a lot of the times, and train in strength. Train in the strength phase, be doing a lot of strength and power type lifting, but then keeping your calories down, because if you're training in strength and power and you're living in a major surplus, you're going to put some size, muscle and fat on for sure, and you're going to see a difference. But
definitely,
if you're living in a deficit, and your program design is centered around strength and power, like, you're going to get stronger in the gym and you shouldn't notice a huge difference as far as, you know, adding a bunch of extra weight because you're living in a deficit or maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, K-Rock Fit. Two-part question. What damages gut flora and how do you correct it?
Gut flora. Mm,
yeah, we haven't talked about that in a while.
Artificial sweeteners alter gut flora. I don't want to use the word damage because we don't know. It's new science, okay? But we know it gets altered. Antibiotics, definitely, right? Mm-hmm. If you take antibiotics, it's like a nuke and it kills all bacteria, not just the bad ones. Yeah. And why is that bad? When you kill off all bacteria, it gives bad bacteria a chance to grow back faster when you're done with the antibiotics, because good bacteria, one of the roles that good bacteria plays in the gut is it prevents the growth of other bad bacteria. And so when you remove that, then it paves the way for overgrowths of certain things.
So now would you say, like, as far as that is concerned, it would be more beneficial to take it intravenously as far as that, you know, instead of orally?
Doesn't matter.
No, still affects the
gut goes
flora.
Through the whole system. Yep. Mm-hmm. It goes through the whole system and it interrupts the ability of bacteria to reproduce. So like you see in like, you know, people in intravenous antibiotics in hospitals,
yeah,
they are very careful with them potentially getting something called C. diff, which is a overgrowth of a very deadly bacteria. Mm. So antibiotics, artificial sweeteners, sugar can cause the growth of certain overgrowth of certain bacteria in the gut. And really gut flora, you know, the healthiest people tend to replenish their gut flora on a regular basis with foods that are fermented,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, yogurts or...
kombucha.
Yeah, you know, teas or, you know, certain kind of... I'm trying to think of fermented foods right now.
Not cucumber.
Sauerkraut is a good one. You know, those types of things. So that's the best way to restore gut flora. Probiotics can help as well. But again, with probiotics, it's kind of a crapshoot. They put in bacteria that they know that people tend to get good results from. But it's not... The science isn't... It's so new. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult right now. Foods that are, you know, maybe higher fat, moderate protein, help heal the gut, the lining of the gut and reduce inflammation of the gut.
Speaking of new science, talk about the transplant as far as fecal transplant is concerned. I think we talked a long time ago, but
you've
like,
been going on those websites again, haven't you?
I was like, I'm hungry for poop. After reading that, I was like, wow.
So they've done studies. Trip off this. So they'll do studies with people with strong with autoimmune disorders like Crohn's. And they will give them poop from someone who's healthy, either orally in a capsule, or they'll give them what's like a poop enema from someone else. And
they call it something else in Germany, by the way.
Costs money.
Yeah.
And what they found is a lot of these people will, their autoimmune disease will go into remission and they'll become healthy because whatever gut flora was in the healthy person was got transplanted to them. And so it's very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's a very, very, you know, archaic way of doing it, you know, grabbing poop from someone that's healthy and putting in you that's someone that's unhealthy. But as we start to understand bacteria of the gut, what's good and what's bad, I think we're going to start coming up with new, you know, novel treatments and therapies that'll kind of take advantage of that.
And I think it too, like we're so removed from the process of food in general. Like, you know, you need to have the right type of soil. In order to provide the right type of nutrients that the food and the vegetables grow from. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's from poop. Yep. You know what I mean? And just the whole process, like you're ingesting this, you know, fruit vegetable that has all these, you know, nutrients that they pulled from the ground. The soil is so much of an important role in that I don't know. It pooped, you know, from somebody else that's healthy, that doesn't seem too far-fetched.
Well, what happened, you know, we did a really good job. Humans did a really good job of preventing death from bacterial infection. We've done a fucking... That was a major cause of death.
Yeah.
Was bacterial infection. So we discovered antibiotics. We germ theory was developed. Everything is washed, sanitized, clean. So we've all but eliminated that risk in modern societies. Like, not too many people die from, you know... tainted food anymore. It just doesn't happen like it used to.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've made everything so clean that we lose, you know, our bodies evolved in that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that super clean environment, there's some theories now that dive into maybe the immune system becomes hypervigilant. Mm-hmm. It's not fighting off all these invaders, so it attacks itself. Because autoimmune disorders are... have been on a huge spike for a while now.
Oh, yeah, all these hand sanitizers. That's my biggest worry. It's like, why should I be so concerned that my fruit hit the ground and, you know, I can't wipe it off and be okay?
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, I'm going to get some kind of crazy disease from that my immune system can't fight off. I want to build my immune system up so, you know, I can resist all kinds of different things.
Well, the worst problem isn't even hand sanitizers, because that just uses alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The worst is all these antibacterial soaps.
Mm.
Because they actually have an antibiotic in them a topical one called, I believe, triclosan is the name of it. And what happens when you wash your hands with it? Kills all the bacteria, which, by the way, regular fucking soap does. Antibacterial soap is a marketing scam. Regular soap kills bacteria too. But what happens with antibacterial soap is it's got an antibiotic on it. You wash your hands, you rinse that off. That goes down into the sewer.
Mm.
And so all these, and it, which then goes washed down and rinsed down. And so these things don't get filtered out in the sewer like normal things do. And so these antibiotics are leaching into every system. And the problem with that, then we ingest them, we drink water. There might be such a trace amount, we don't know, but it's altering gut flora. And then even worse than that is we're forcing bacteria to evolve to resist antibiotics.
Right.
And so they say, doctors say that, and scientists say that in 20 years, one of the major problems mankind is going to have is finding antibiotics to actually kill bacteria, because bacteria is going to evolve and survive.
I could see that.
Those attacks.
That's scary. So,
yeah, that was a good question.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, this next one is thought-provoking. It's from Felbert 18. Let's say you guys are on death row. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
What is your crime and what is your last meal?
Why am I on death row?
Yeah.
I definitely want to know why. First.
No, I didn't say Justin, you should go first. We all know you killed somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw those results. I'm probably one of the,
Adam's
the
like,
guilty ones.
Adam's like, I went to death row because I killed that ass.
Stupid.
Murdering.
I murdered that
straight
ass.
Murder.
Well, I mean, what do you, you only get death row for murder, right? So I'd have to have killed somebody, right?
Yeah.
So it's who did you kill?
Yeah,
right?
Who did you kill?
Who did you kill to get there?
Don't give us any specific names. I don't want us to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
be like, that asshole.
I know, there. Right?
God, I just don't.
They threaten me.
I'm such a.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Let's change this a little bit. What would it take for you to kill someone? When can you?
It would be so dark. I wouldn't want to talk about.
I know.
It. Yeah. I don't want to talk about.
If somebody fucked with my sister, I'd probably kill him.
Okay. See, that's what I mean. It's
if you, family. I have a protective side to my sister who's closest to me, and probably any of my siblings. I should say that, not just my sister.
Your other siblings are all. What the fuck? They're
all listening. You're all, what am I, chopped liver over here?
I kill them if they mess with my sister, but if they mess with my brother, I'd rough them up a little bit. Yeah, but I wouldn't kill them.
Like, hey,
I'd punch.
Hey,
them.
Hey.
I guess.
Well, let's. Yeah.
I guess I would be more. I mean, no matter what, I don't see myself killing anybody. But if I were to, that's why you.
It'd have to be in the moment.
Exactly.
Self
defense. I have this side to with her that I'm overprotective with her than anybody else, that if somebody were to try and harm her or hurt her, I'm liable to do that. So I guess you could pretend that some idiot actually tried to test that to see if I was for real.
That's probably true for all of us, right? Protecting our families.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the only reason why any of us would kill anybody, right?
Yeah,
I can't imagine killing anybody else for a reason, right?
No, I couldn't
unless
see myself.
I saw somebody like murdering other people, you know, right in front of me.
Depends who they're killing. Like, what if they're killing assholes?
Oh, really?
No, I'm
like, whoa.
What if you're like,
okay, they're a psychopath?
What if you're driving, some asshole cuts you off, and you're like, motherfucker, and then he cuts someone else off, that person gets out of the car and kills him. Would you?
Okay, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, don't do that, but you'd be like, oh, he kind of deserved it. So I don't know if I want
to. Well, okay, so there's another, okay, a type of person.
Extreme than that.
If we were like, we're going to death row, you're killing somebody, it's going to be somebody who, I'm trying to make a statement, like somebody who's a child molester or somebody who I want to make a statement, like, yeah.
You'd have to be a hero move. For
exactly.
Me,
that's
for
what I mean,
sure.
Like a hero. I'm just so you know, like,
oh my God, I did like crazy ninja kick to the head and the guy just died.
Well, I was just thinking I'd want to do something
and then
that
stand over him.
Justin's thought about this.
I see that.
Yeah, but he was like the most evil man that ever lived, you know, and he killed somebody in front of me.
Mine would be like it'd be a statement, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd want like all the child molesters know that I'm out there lurking through the night and you never
know. So you're more like a superhero.
Yeah, more like that's, I'm out there killing those people.
What would your name be? What kind of superhero would you be?
Man, I don't know, dude.
The wizard.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
You'd have a wizard costume.
The dark wizard.
You'd have big wizard sleeves and you're super, like, you'd reach into your wizard sleeve and pull shit out, like, and throw it, like. It could be anything. Ninja stars. You know what I mean? Yeah, it could
a
be
wizard
anything.
Who throws ninja stars.
But, no, but they don't look like ninja stars. They look like, they look like magic sparkles.
No, it's like a star with a moon, like a half crescent moon.
Exactly.
Crescent moon star. You know.
Dude, Justin's way too good
at this. Justin would be like, he would have like a sleeveless white shirt,
okay,
and a helmet, okay, a football helmet.
Yes.
And he'd be he just run into people. That would be a superpower.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
He just fucking ram people.
I can see that. Yeah. No, what would my what would wait, my
dude? I'm way too athletic for that.
I'd be just an evil scientist in the background. Yeah.
I would.
What's your last?
You'd
meal?
Have some like maniacal laugh.
My last meal.
Yeah. What would that be?
Would be a 12-ounce cut of filet mignon, cooked medium.
Filet mignon.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, that's filet mignon.
So it would be a 12-ounce big old monster cut of filet mignon.
Mispronounced.
I would have it with garlic mashed potatoes and spinach. And then I would have I would wash down dessert with a giant bowl of chocolate malted crunch ice cream from Thrifty's and mint chip with waffle.
Ooh, Thrifty's ice cream?
Thrifty's ice cream.
Bro, that's... Yeah.
With waffle...
You have been smoking.
With waffle cones crushed up over it.
Who the fuck buys ice cream from Thrifty's?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, are you kidding me right now? Don't even get me started on this debate, dude.
Thrifty's?
Thrifty's ice cream.
Does Thrifty's even exist though?
Yes, yeah, it does. All Rite Aids still sell Thrifty's. Not all, but most Rite Aids still sell Thrifty's ice cream. Thrifty's is still surviving as a brand
ice cream.
Is the best ice cream still to this day. And I know there's a bunch
of... Well, it's the only one my son likes because the mint is like actually green still.
Yes, bro.
Everywhere else they're like, yeah, let's cut out the artificial colors and everything.
Yeah, let's make it
not Thrifty's.
No, it's still got the green artificial color.
Bright green.
Mint chip ice cream and chocolate malted crunch from Thrifty's is the best ice cream that is there. And you know what? All you fat fucks that are listening to this right now that are trying to argue, be like, oh, Ben and Jerry's.
They're not listening now. Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Or Haagen-Dazs or 31 Flavors or all those other overly rich fucking ice cream. No, dude. Thrifty's ice cream is the best ice cream, and they make bomb waffle. No, dude. You probably never even had it before.
I'm Italian. I'm an ice cream snob.
I don't really like
You're a gelato
ice cream.
Lover.
I like
cookies. Which that would be a close second. But with gelato, there's so many. You could go so wrong and so right with gelato. Some places are just perfect, and other places are like, this is wild.
Isn't it the law that they have to give you whatever you ask for your last meal?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
See, I would ask for something crazy like...
Over the top?
No, like something like an endangered species. Like, I'd like a bald eagle, you know, sandwich.
Well, I don't know.
Like, you got to give it to me, motherfucker,
you're
so
dick,
make it.
Dude.
Exactly.
Yeah. America.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I know, right?
Why are you going to do it with a bald eagle?
I'd like some... I'd like some baby seal chips.
Yeah. I don't know if that's...
I'm on death row, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be crazy.
Nobody likes you right now.
I'm sure...
I'm trying to be crazy right now, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm already on death row. Yeah.
No, and then I want like a monster blunt. Just smoke this big, huge blunt to my dome. I'm just going to...
Sounds about
That would
right.
be the worst thing to do before death row. Before getting killed. Because you'd be so paranoid.
You should have said like jackalope.
You'd be super high and you'd be like, oh my God, is there really a God? What's going to happen? No, it wouldn't work.
Yeah. No, I think it would be a different, I'm ready to go, dude.
Really?
I think it would be more like that.
Ready to go, bro.
Yeah, ready to go. I had my bowl of ice cream.
And the news, the next day, the first death from overdose on cannabis
in
happened.
The background, it's just, womp,
yeah, right. Some reggae music going.
You know what my last meal would be? My last meal would be my wife's homemade lasagna with a shit ton of cheese.
Brownie points.
Shit ton of cheese on it. And then I would also eat a big bowl of ice cream, but let me explain why. Okay.
What kind of ice cream?
Any fucking ice cream. A big bowl of it.
You don't even have a specific ice cream.
Let me finish, bro. This is a plan. I can give a fuck about the food. I'm about to die. I don't give a shit.
I'm a connoisseur.
I'm lactose intolerant. I want to have...
You shit yourself.
Yes. I want to have cramps so bad that I fucking hope they kill me. Like, I'm just like, hurry up and kill me.
When they electrocute you shit all over the floor.
I shit on them.
I get it.
I'll just spray everybody. Yeah. Be like, you're going down with me.
And you're like a whole bag of Taco Bell. You're going out with a bang.
Gross. Yeah, exactly.
What if someone did pick something like that? Like, I want a Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
20 bean burritos.
To 4 chalupas and...
Oh my God, I know where this is going. It's going to be ugly. Everybody get the suits on.
You remember that guy last Tuesday? What happened after he had the 4 chalupas?
Run for the border.
I tell you what, Richard, you're the one that's pulling it this time. I'm not going to be the guy fucking lacing him up.
Oh God.
So Justin, what's your final meal?
I love pizza so much. Like, I would have pizza baby if I could. But like, I would. And I'd call him Pizza the Hut.
Yeah. Pizza baby?
Yeah. I would have a pizza baby. You wouldn't? Anyways, it would be a deep dish pizza, like extra cheese, extra everything. And God, after that, I would be too full to eat anything, but I would do it anyway.
Because you're going
to
die.
So I would eat a huge pizookie on top of that. This is like my Chicago. Damn. They do it right out there, dude. I'm not going to lie. They do it big and calorie bomb-rific.
And that's where you'd want it from. You'd want it from somewhere in Chicago.
Yeah.
You have a place over there?
Giordano's. Giordano's. People that are listening there from there, they know I'm talking about.
I'm so glad that you Gino's actually have East. Specific. This guy over here is just like, oh, yeah, some ice cream, whatever, brand, whatever. I'm dying tomorrow.
No. Really, and then dying. I would probably, you know, chug whatever reserved Crown Royale they have that's like that's the most, expensive ever. And I would just sit there and sip it.
I wonder if you could ask for that.
Drugs?
I could ask for drugs.
Yeah, because if you could ask for drugs, that'd be easy.
Yeah.
Kill myself.
A nice stogie.
I don't think they would let you do drugs.
I'd kill myself. But I'd bring me some cocaine.
I'd have a heart attack before I'd even get to get fried.
That's right.
So, I wonder if they would let you get alcohol. Can you have alcohol on death row? Doug, do you know? This sounds like a question for the producer.
Yeah. I've never been on death row, so I don't know.
You don't have any friends that have been on death row?
No, not yet.
No,
but you guys,
no ex-wives or girlfriends on death row?
No.
Sorry, let's be honest though. If any of us were ever to happen to be on death row,
what about that tattoo you got?
It would be Doug.
I was just gonna say, who is most likely to be on death? Who's
you're right. See, it's Doug.
Who's
not me?
Right. Who's most likely to go to prison?
He gets fired
out of four
up, dude.
Doug.
Doug, probably.
For sure.
Yeah, totally so Doug.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They'll find the bodies one day, Doug.
Dude, Vegas has a big desert behind it. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
Do we have any more questions or we get them all?
Do that top. What's that top one say there?
Oh, yeah. This is from Wolfgang Schultes. Tips on selling yourself to clients.
Before we answer that, can
don't
you say his
yourself.
Name again?
Yeah, that's a great name.
I think it's Schultes or Schultes. Schultes.
After eating all this ice cream, I have to take a Schultes.
Schultes.
So tips on selling yourself to clients, right?
Yeah.
If you're cool, be yourself. If you're not, try and be somebody else.
Yeah. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, be Adam. No, I... we got to give him a good answer. Yeah, no, we got to give him a real weak. Answer. Number one, be confident. Do not be afraid to ask for money. Biggest mistake I see amongst new trainers is they're weird about it. Like, I don't want to ask them to pay me. It's a very strange thing, but it's common. So be confident in your worth. Be confident in your prescription. Do not suggest, prescribe. Give them two options. Let them pick.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the easiest things you could possibly do. So confidence, come up. You need to work out with me twice a week for the next 4 weeks, which is 8 sessions. However, if you want, we could do once a week for the same period of time, which
if
is 4 sessions.
If you're not good at that, just be extra nice.
For sales?
So
yeah, ignore that.
I love it. So ironically,
whatever.
Okay, so ironically, the reason why I was running late here, I literally was sitting down with two trainers. I just spent about 90 minutes with two new trainers teaching them sales.
Mm.
And this was exactly the topic. And I'll tell you the advice that I gave them. And it was neat too, because both trainers, very smart. One of them has a Kinesis degree plus his national certification. The other one's nationally certified and been an experienced trainer for about a year and a half or so. And both were coming to me for advice on selling. And so we were sitting down talking, and they're giving me what they've heard, and they were taught this, they were told this. And I said, you know, couple things, some advice that I was given when I first started and what I used to teach to other trainers is this. When I first started off, if you were to base my sales and revenue and what I made off of, training, you would consider me a very good, very successful trainer. I was not. I don't think I was a very good trainer at all. In fact, I definitely wouldn't hire me 15 years ago. But what I was good about was this, and this is what I told them. You got to remember that, you know, if you're a trainer, you're certified, you have a degree, whatever, however you got, wherever you got your education, you're light years ahead of the person coming to you for help. And a lot of the...
Yeah,
the,
be honest, like how much of all that advanced information that you know are you going to even be able to apply to the average person?
Exactly. Yeah. So, and when I said this to one of these guys today, he was just like, wow, that makes total sense. I feel like I have all this information and yet I'm so insecure on how to deliver that information. I said, that's because you're overcomplicating it, because you have all this stuff going through your head and you're thinking, how do I present all this knowledge to them? It's like, dude, keep it simple. And I said, and whatever's in your head right now, I don't know. I'll give you an example of what I went through. So, and you guys can probably relate to this because we go back this far. I was part of when South Myo Fascia Release, so foam rolling and core, like came into play.
So those were your selling points.
Exactly. Yeah. So when
everything was core and self my
because it was
you just highlighted it because they knew they knew nothing about it.
They knew nothing about it. It was a new science. I was fascinated to learn about it when I learned about it. I didn't realize the importance of it. So it was something that I dove into and I learned all about. So instead of me getting so crazy into how do you balance your macronutrients and program designing with a client and telling them how to correct
you just focus on what they haven't heard yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I focused on what they had what they hadn't heard and what I was really good at explaining because I had just learned that. So instead of worrying about all this other all the other facets of training, that stuff's going to come.
Right.
As you train somebody, as you you know, you got to sell them first. You got to get them to buy from you and get them with you for months before you can even think about applying all that other knowledge. So instead of overcomplicating the process, focus on the little bit of knowledge that you do feel confident and comfortable in that they probably don't know and you can share with them. And do that and well, share that with them with energy and passion.
Well, this is, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. My turn. No, but what I was going to say is like, read them first, you know, like first and foremost, anything. I think the biggest mistake a lot of times people do is they walk into the situation where, well, I'm just going to hammer them and give them the price and give them two options and give them like, you know, like this is where I stand, but you know, they don't actually know what they want yet. And they haven't actually talked their way through like, okay, what are you looking for? You know, you actually, you determine that and you make it very clear that, you know, this is what's going to get you there and you highlight everything. You sound super smart, but you know that they're looking for one thing and then don't detract them from buying that one thing. So, no. Yeah.
Yeah. To use your ears and your mouth in proportion, right?
Right.
Listen twice as much as you talk. But here's another thing about sales. What you say is never as important as how you say it. That's just the way sales works.
Mm-hmm.
I could say something very basic, but the way I communicate it with my body language,
passion, and energy,
passion, my confidence, will come across very, very differently than someone who's communicating a shit ton of information.
That's a great point. And that's why I said stick to something that you know very well. You are excited to learn about because it will show in your presentation.
Right. So you know you ask the questions. What you're look you know what are your goals? Let's talk about your goals. Let's talk about your history. Let me take you through an assessment. Oh, here I notice your shoulders are forward. This exercise will help pull them back. This is why that's important. Can you see how that'll help you? And so you're just kind of going through information, basic stuff, tying it down. And then when you sit down, you're the professional. You sit down with them and you show them, look, this is what I think. This is what you need. You need to see me twice a week. I want you to come to the gym once a week. And I think in 10 weeks, we can see some pretty good change. That would be about 20 sessions. However, some people like to train less frequently. So that would be 10 sessions. Let me show you what those two look like. You do get a break in the per session rate when you do 20. Here's your prices. Now, based upon these things that we've talked about in the two programs that I'm showing you, which one do you think is going to work better for you? And then shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Don't say anything at that point. Shut your mouth. And wait for them to answer. And most people will pick one. Most people will pick one.
So you just did what's called an alternate advanced close. And when I was explaining this to these trainers was that you can't be afraid to do that either, is that you're in a position of power. So be aware of that and don't be afraid to use that.
Right.
So don't be afraid to say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this over the next. And just like Sal said, you know, you give them, you prescribe them what they're going to be doing with you. And then their option is how many times per week you're going to be seeing me. That's right. It. Or are you going to buy the whole program up front or are you just going to start with half of it up front?
No, never give the option of
nothing.
Yes or no.
Yeah. Yes or no.
And don't give them the low. Yeah. Don't lowball it ever. Yeah. Not ever. Even if you see somebody and you know, that one time that you'll have misread somebody and you'll give them like a low ball. Well, I'll give them like kind of the medium to lower end.
And they cash you out.
They pull it out
of their sock. That's a true story.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That kind of stuff will happen though. Always think bigger.
It will.
Always think bigger. Own bigger.
So of course you guys have heard the term, but I don't know if the listeners have heard the terms of always be closing. ABC. Always be closing. And you might hear this if you get into sales. What this means is you sell. You're always selling. You're ready to take the close when they're ready to give it to you. So here's another mistake that I see is where trainers will fucking talk the person out of hiring them.
Oh yeah.
Because the person's ready. They're ready to buy. You know, I think I want to do that. When someone gives you the buying, you know, signals like, you know what? I really want to do personal training, or this sounds like a great idea, or I've worked with a trainer before. I just want to work with another one now. Get the sale.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and sell them when they're already sold, because I promise you'll talk more people out of it than you'll talk people into it.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have the sale, when you're ready, so I've done this.
Well, you create awkwardness.
Dude, I've done this halfway through an assessment. I'm doing an assessment. Oh, my God, this is so awesome. I need to work with you. You know, Fridays are good for me. Come on over. Let's sign you up. And we'll sign them up. I mean,
that's it.
Do it, always be closing. Always look for that opportunity and take it when you get it. Because you can and you will talk them out of it.
Well, let's put it this way. And this is something I explained to these guys also, is that somebody who's come up to you and asked you for a question or asked you help has already made the hardest part, which is coming up, admitting they don't know something and asking another human being, whether it be a man or a woman, doesn't matter. They are saying, I don't know this. Can you help me? Do you know? That's already fucking buying question right there. At that point, I tell people that if they walk or they don't buy, that has nothing to do with the excuse they gave them and everything to do with you and your presentation. Because if they're coming up and
100%
admitting they need help and they're asking you for something, that's already a buying question.
Let's get to the hard core of it now. Let's get to the real nitty gritty, right? In sales. This is the bottom line. When someone comes up to you and is asking you about your services, someone's going to get closed. Always. Yep. Someone's getting closed.
You or them.
Now, either they're going to get closed on hiring you, or you're getting closed on why they're not going to hire you. So that's just the way it is, one way or the other. So at the end of it, if you don't get the sale, you fucked up. There's something that you did or didn't do. Now, it doesn't mean that they couldn't afford it. Most of the time when someone's asking to hire a trainer, they kind of know they're going to spend some money.
Yeah.
And most people can afford one session. Yes, you can sell just one session. That's another big mistake. Don't think they always have to buy 30 sessions or 10 sessions. They can buy just one session. And I guarantee you the odds of them re-enrolling after that one session are much higher than you think they are.
Oh, yeah. We used to have all the statistics on that.
Yes. Very, very high. So
it doubles once you get someone to buy one.
Someone's always going to get closed, and have that confidence. You know, it's literally, I could literally walk up to someone in the gym, help them with an exercise, and say to them, you know what? You should hire me. I could really help you. I mean, just saying that to someone, you know, I'm already displaying that confidence to them. And what do people really want out of a trainer? Is inspiration and confidence.
Well, I love that. That's called the assumption close. You know, you're assuming that you're gonna say yes to me. It's so, as the person who's trying to make the sale, you're in such a better position to take an approach like that, where you're just assuming this person is gonna buy, and put them in the awkward position to say no, put them in the awkward position to come up with a bullshit excuse. Yep. If they're coming to you already asking for help, you know what? You're right. You do need help. Let's do this. We're gonna start you off with 10 sessions. Done. I'm gonna see you twice a week.
Done.
And then make them be the one who has to come up. You know, don't be afraid to be assertive like that. They're seeking out. They're your help. They need your help. You know they need your help. Mm-hmm. You know, have that a confidence where, you know, you are just going to prescribe. You need this.
And by the way, use their name too. You know, like Adam was just saying, guy comes up to you, I need some help. Yo, by the way, my name's Sal. What's your name? John. No problem. Blah, blah, blah. John, you need to work with me twice a week for at least the next 4 weeks. Yeah. You know, that makes it that much more impactful. It makes it very, very powerful. We've talked about you know, putting together a series or a program where we teach trainers how to sell and build their business. And I can see that there's somewhat of a demand for it. So we're going to have to do this in the future.
Well, it'd be neat for us to put some sort of...
There's nothing else that's out there.
No. Yeah, well, maybe we put some sort of a survey out there or something so we can get a kind of a pulse on our listeners.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you think it's a good idea, come to our Instagram page, let us know so we can see that there's people interested, because I think there's a need for it. I don't see... Where do trainers go to learn how to build their business?
Yeah, and you know,
there's very few. There's very few. And
unless you get a good mentor and you go to a gym and they have a good manager, but that's it. There's no, like, you can go get certified, but then where do you go to learn? You know what I mean? You know, how can I get out of this program and be ready to go? Throw me in a gym and I'll just go.
Well, and good sales too, because one of the kids that was, you know, he had gone through some training in sales, and he was telling him, like, it's such like basic 101, like how to overcome an objection. I'm like, you know what? I do not teach that. I do not teach someone like, you know, I used to say this, there's a difference between a good closer and a great closer. Okay. Any good closer could push someone into a sale, meaning this: you say something, I overcome your objection. You say something again, I overcome your objection again. You say no again, I overcome that objection. And eventually I wear you down and you can no longer say anything but yes. And I pressure
you. And that person has buyer's remorse later.
Exactly. That's somebody, that's a good closer, and they can push someone to sell. Well, kudos. Good for you. You read all the fucking sales books I read too. If you're a great closer, you pull somebody into a sale. Mm-hmm. They walk right into it. They have no idea they walk into it. And then when they leave, they're fucking excited they paid that
money. Well, here's the thing. A really, really good closer, a great closer doesn't get objections a lot of the times.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that.
Because I got to the point. I mean, right out the gates, I was a good salesperson, but I wasn't great until I practiced and got better. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where I could see objections, you know, 5 minutes before they were
like
going
to
come
chess,
out.
It's like chess, dude.
You overcome it before they come out. That's 100%.
You see the future.
That's right. The pulling. 100%. Right. Yeah,
I'll give you guys an example. Lady comes in. I can tell she's married. She has kids because she's already talked about her kids because we've been talking for a second. I already know.
Talking about the kids club and then, all that stuff.
Not only that, but I already know that the time issue is going to be an objection for her. How am I going to find time for this? So before we even get into anything, I say to her, how much time have you allotted to fitness? How much time do you know for sure you can carve out to work out? 2 days a week for about an hour. Perfect. Now I know that shit ain't going to come up because at the end of this, if she says, I don't know if I have the time, she's not going to say that. She just told me she has 2 hours a week.
No.
And by the way, how am I going to modify my presentation now? It's going to be all around her 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to fit fitness into 2 hours a week. Right.
I do the same thing with commitment because you always know that commitment's always an issue for somebody. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so this and blah, blah, blah. So when I'm breaking down you're going to see me one time, two time or three times a week.
How committed are you?
I'll say to someone, I won't even ask them. I'll explain to them that if you're somebody who's really committed and you want to see yourself all the way to your goal, you see me three times a week. If you're somebody who's like, you know what? I know I can commit to one time a week. I got a lot of stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. You go one time a week, you know, and if you find yourself somewhere in between there, you're going to see me two times a week. Out of those three, which one do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, so there's absolutely. It's all about that.
Take away clothes. There.
It's about seeing the objections ahead, which that comes with practice too. You got to get, you know, don't give it. Yeah. None of us came out with all that stuff when we first started. The first and I think the best takeaway is to say things with authority. Say be confident in yourself. Stick to things that you feel comfortable with, and don't be afraid to just this is what you need.
Always be closing. Don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump. Please rate and review us.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.